Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For year-round comfort you can count on, call Max Heating and Air. Serving the Pine Belt and surrounding areas, they handle heating, cooling, spray foam insulation, duct cleaning, and more. Quality service, trusted experts. Call Max Heating and Air at 601-649-4087.
Well, pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. We got a good show for you today here on a Friday afternoon. Dima Mixon, Bob Getty in the Southern Bancorp studio. And the opening segment of our show, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Good show coming your way. Former Southern Miss All-American Jeff Cook is going to join us, give us some baseball analogies. Jason Baker is going to review the women's basketball season, which ended yesterday in Pensacola. All that coming, and of course, we'll be talking about tonight's Southern Miss baseball game. But first, Dima, I want to talk about basketball because I watched every minute of that game. I'm really proud of the guys last night, 86-80 over JMU. And I'm going to tell you, Dima, if they play like they played last night, they'll make a run in this tournament. They look good, didn't they?
They really did. And one stat that and shout out to Jack McDonald, who's the SID for men's basketball, was able to note this in the game notes. Just 6 turnovers for the Golden Eagles in that game last night, which, if you're wondering, is the fewest committed this season and the third fewest by a Jay Ladner team over 7 seasons that he's been the head coach.
Wow.
And if you don't turn the basketball over, Bob, in tournament games, you're going to win more games than you lose. And last night just showed that. So that was awesome to see that. Golden Eagles moved to 2-3 all-time in the Sun Belt tournament, and they're 4-1 all-time against James Madison. But you're right. I mean, it was – remember when we talked to Jay yesterday, he said, your best players have to play well in tournaments, and we saw that. Bully Weeks last night, 31 total points, and he really played well, and they need him to play well, but also they had the addition of Isaac Tavares, giving him 17 as well. So really just complete game, really the first complete game I think I've seen them play.
And it won't show up in the stats, but Izzy was a big factor last night. He came in and out of the game, rebounded the ball, blocked shots, was a big presence in the middle. I think even scored 4 or 6 points. I thought maybe that was the best game I've seen him play all year.
He really did play well. He has such a big size, and we've talked about him a lot, that we still want to see that next step from him. And I thought you saw some flashes of it last night. Of course, played 16 minutes, 6 points, like you said, and then, 4 or 5 rebounds. So he really – but his presence is enough inside that if he can just move his feet, it's hard to drive against him, regardless of whether or not he's – dominating on the inside of the glass like he can.
Yeah, his presence was very important last night, and he got a lot of praise from the play-by-play guys who noticed the contribution. But, man, you got to talk about Weeks. 31 points, hitting crucial shot after crucial shot. Pretty exciting right now, and they've won 3 of their last 4 games, and are they hot here at the right time, Dima?
Well, certainly Jay Ladner hopes so. And another thing is they didn't really attempt many threes last night. We've documented this season of just how bad they've been shooting the 3 basketball, and they went away from that. Only 11 attempted threes versus 16 for James Madison, and Southern Miss only hit 4 of them. And they still scored 86 points. That's really encouraging to see. And we talk about it a lot, getting that first one in a tournament, getting some confidence. And now they're going to play a team tonight against Texas State who hasn't played in this tournament yet. And now you kind of look at Southern Miss saying, they might be favored in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. So Texas State hasn't played a game.
No.
And they split during the regular season, correct? So this is a winnable game for
and
the
both
Golden
those
Eagles.
Games were without Tavares, by the way. But both the game that Southern Miss won and the game they lost were without Isaac Tavares, and both games went down to the wire.
Well, so they have a real shot.
I think so.
5 o'clock tip tonight, I think. So even if you're going to the baseball game, bring your, obviously you'll have your phone, but follow the basketball team. I'm certainly going to be doing that. And
that's the beauty of ESPN Plus, that you can be at the baseball game tonight and on your phone be watching the basketball game.
And well, look, let's point out, we think they have a really good chance of winning tonight.
I would say, and tomorrow. I mean, let's just say hypothetically they win tonight. You play App State tomorrow, who, granted, App State beat you in Hattiesburg, but that was without Tavares, and that was like the second or third game without him. So they were still trying to figure themselves out about how to run their offense without Tavares, and that game went down to the final few minutes. Right. So
And the guys have assured themselves of a winning season, and I do want to point that out. No matter what happens moving forward, the Golden Eagles have enjoyed a winning basketball season. You know, Dima, when you think about everything that happened this year, the federal indictment announcement, Tavares being injured for, 9 weeks?
Yeah, and we make fun of it, but this lull at the back of your head of when is this renovation going to start? I mean, that doesn't matter. Yeah.
I think all things considered, I just think Jay Ladner's and his staff have done a great job with this basketball team this year. And I know some people are going to disagree with me about that, but winning basketball games is not easy. And when you're trying to overcome all the disadvantages and then all the BS that kind of surrounded the team with this federal indictment stuff, man, they kept focused, they kept working, they kept looking ahead, and here they are in a position to make a run in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, they're 17-15, and four of their 15 losses came at the hands of South Carolina, Miami, Ole Miss, and LSU. So, you know,
there you go.
Then really when you look at it, and then, you know, you have 11 other losses. Now, granted, the Grambling State loss was pretty bad, but there were a couple conference losses that, I mean, could have gone either way, right? I mean, those games came down to the final minute. Right. I wanted to talk – I know we're having Jason Baker on to talk about the women's game, but I do have a soundbite from Missy Boderback's presser if you would like to hear it.
Absolutely, let's hear it.
And, of course, the women lost yesterday to end their season to ULM. For those who don't know, they lost that game. They actually came out and started with the lead for most of that game, and then ULM was just shooting the ball so well in that second half. They ended up losing 89-72. Here was Missy Boderback after the game.
Obviously, we're disappointed. You know, this has been an incredibly fun team to coach. Really have enjoyed our team this year. You know, I've got Ja'Kayla Johnson and Melanie Timms here with me. And so I think, you know, obviously we're disappointed in the loss, but, you know, anytime you have a end of season, you know, that's tough, especially when you've got such a special group of players and people that you really care about. And, so that makes it tough. You got to give credit to ULM. They shot the ball extremely well from three, you know, and also I thought their paint presence and paint points, 38 paint points, and out-rebounded us by 17. And so, you know, anytime those things happen, it's tough to win. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm really thankful. I had the chance to coach this group. I'm thankful for each player and their contributions, and you know, it's just really a tough time right now. To find the right words, wasn't, you know, really expecting to have to you know, say goodbye right now, for sure.
You know, and I think she did overall a good job, Dima. It had to be really tough for her to lose two of three to her former employer.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of all the teams that could have eliminated them. That was the one you're kind of like, oof, that one had to hurt.
I would think that probably stung more than anything could have happened to her.
And I know we're about to have Jason Baker on to kind of recap the entire season, but you have to think about the injuries that she had, you know, towards the end of the season that really just derailed it, because they really started off really well.
Right.
But those injuries, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, just kind of derailed that team.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, though. I mean, in the second half of that game yesterday, I watched both games. Monroe could not miss a shot. I mean, they were throwing rainbows up all over the floor and putting them down.
I was telling my wife, because we were kind of both watching the game, I was like, these ladies are shooting like NBA threes, ULM women. Yeah, I was like, what is going on? I mean, and most of the time you're kind of like, just let them shoot that. You know, you're not going to guard that, because hypothetically they're generally not going to make it, but they're just drilling every one of them.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, got about a minute left before we hit the break. Let me share what little I know, and there's not much that I know. Weather looks very, very sketchy here this weekend. Tonight looks fine for the ball game. I understand there's going to be a meeting late this afternoon. They meet with weather and you know, weather guys at the Weather Channel, or I think the State Weather Bureau in Jackson. And it'll probably be late this evening before they can – determine how to maneuver through this thing. But right now, Dima, it looks, you know, the weather looks pretty challenging for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I would expect, if I had to guess, I would think we would do a doubleheader tomorrow because the rain isn't really supposed to start till 6. Mm-hmm. So I think you could get a doubleheader in if you started at 10.
Yeah.
But Sunday looks rough. I don't know if you can get a game in on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll pass that along. Well, we won't be back before that happens. But
look, social media.
Yeah, you go to social media, and I think they're going to meet late this afternoon and try to make a decision. So they'll get that information out to you as soon as they can. But look, show up tonight. Please don't have a Wednesday night crowd. Have the Tuesday night crowd, not the Wednesday night crowd. Give these kids some support and help them get back on track, which, Dima, I think they will.
Yeah, me too. And like we said, though, that you got 5 p.m. men's basketball, so you can watch it on your phone while you're at the ballpark.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
It's me too.
And eating, of course.
I hope you enjoy your sweet food.
We'll be back with Jason Baker.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Do you need tires for your car or your truck? There's only one place to think about. Eagle Tire West. Matt Warren and his staff sell premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West. Next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Also, our good friends at the MCS Home Center remind you that for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, they got everything you need, whether it be your home, your lawn, or your garden. They got it at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Hattiesburg's new improvement home center, owned by Hank Lott and his family, one of the kindest people on the planet, and big Southern Miss supporters, 7329 Highway 98 West. I'll tell you somebody else we like around here is our next guest, Jason Baker. He does the play-by-play for Lady Eagle basketball and does the ESPN home games for Southern Miss baseball. So, Jason, welcome. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, Bob, thank you so much for having me and looking forward to talking.
All right, basketball ended last night. We were talking. You'd probably know the answer to this. It had to be extra bitter for a Missy to be eliminated by her former school and lose 2 out of 3. But I watched the whole game, Jason. I got to tell you, in the second half, Monroe, as Dima said, they were hitting, it looked like NBA three-point shots. And they were just too hot to handle, weren't they?
They were. And, you know, sometimes in tournament play, I think that's what matters, right, is, you know, the team that all of a sudden begins to find that rhythm. I also am of the belief that I think it is a distinct advantage to have played in those arenas and those environments, because it's not your normal routine. So a team that's already gone through that has a very much an advantage of sort of handling the moment and handling the game. Now, you know, with that said, I thought the Lady Eagles got off to a good start, but it just kind of seemed like when Monroe sort of got the first punch away from the Lady Eagles, they settled in and really got into their type of ball game. And we just had and it was how this team was throughout the season. There would just be stretches where we just kind of inconsistent play that would be defensively and offensively. And we sort of had one of those in the third quarter yesterday. And we took a 43-42 lead, and then it's like Monroe just hit the gas and began to make shot after shot after shot, and we didn't, and frankly, they just deserved to win the game, you know, and that's just kind of how basketball works sometimes, unfortunately.
Interesting what you said, because I wondered that yesterday watching the game. You say there was a little edge between these teams throughout the season. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's two, you know, rival junior college coaches that have made their way to the Division One level. Missy was dominant over Scotty for a long period of time in the junior college system. And, you know, I think that just builds a rivalry. There's respect. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a nasty rivalry, although we had a technical the other night in Monroe where it was just getting testy, but those things happen. And what I kind of found in this series was it was like the team who sort of carries momentum into the locker room sort of utilized that to jump out on a team in the second half. And I don't know if you recall, Bob, but they made a big shot. I think it was Maze Prince who hit a corner ball three as time expired right before the half to cut it to one. And if you look, like when Monroe left the court, I mean, they were bouncing around, excited, all the energy. And I kind of watched us, and we looked more business-like approach, kind of walking off the floor. And that energy translated into the locker room and out of the locker room. And our last lead was 43-42 in that ball game, and Monroe just sort of seemed to have control of it for the second half. And that happens sometimes in rivalry games. Your opponent gets some belief, and all of a sudden, boom, you're down. I mean, it seemed like we went down 10 in like a blink of an eye. I mean, I remember in the third quarter thinking, gosh, we just got buried all of a sudden, and I wasn't quite sure if we had enough in our tank yesterday to be able to get back over that hump.
You said it so well, Jason, that sometimes when you play on that court, it gets you such a unique advantage. I mean, we've already seen that in the bracket. South Alabama, the 12th seed, is all the way into this yep. round today. And then, like you said, ULM, they had played on Wednesday and beaten yep. Louisiana, and they're in the fourth round. And you've seen that kind of translate to the men's side as well. I mean, Georgia Southern yep. beating Arkansas State. Of course, Southern Miss, though, beat James Madison, who had already played.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you kind of an overall, you know, not necessarily grade, but Missy Bilderback's first season as the head coach for women's basketball started off pretty hot, obviously dealt with injuries the past couple yeah. months that kind of derailed the season. But overall, how would you grade the season or grade her first
yeah,
season?
I think it would be fair, somewhere in the B range, yeah. B plus. This was a talented team, but like without SK, we were different.
Right.
And that hurt us for a couple of weeks. Number one, when you build a team, and in this world of the portal era, right, you build it for a specific purpose. And, you know, I think over time we kind of learned it wasn't the deepest team. We just didn't get a lot of development from the bench to sort of overtake and help support that starting five, right?
Sure.
And so for us, what I kind of felt like was, once we adjusted and acclimated to what Whitney Hart's strengths were going to be versus what SK's strengths were going to be, then all of a sudden I thought when this team took a couple of steps forward, but just never quite got to the same pace and spacing and ball movement, which is very much principles of Missy Bilderback's offensive system. And our spacing just seemed to be down the stretch just not quite as good. And I don't mean in any respect, because Whitney Hart's going to be a great player, but like she wasn't SK. And right. so I think teams guarded us differently. Matter of fact, I felt like teams really extended out and said, you're not going to beat us with the three like you have been.
Right.
And they couldn't do that with SK, and they could do that a little bit with Whitney Hart. And there were some nights where they would have to sag down and get out of that so much extended tight defense. And when I really saw it was a couple weeks ago, we lost to South Alabama, and they were in a 3-2 zone and really got wide. Like, they were lifted out from the basket, and there was all this space in the middle of that zone. And I thought, man, if we could just attack there. But, you know, Whitney's just a redshirted freshman that's growing and hurt. The ceiling is extremely high for her. She can be a heck of a player, but she just wasn't a six-year senior like SK White was.
Yeah. Baseball question for you now. The Golden Eagles back in yep. action tonight against North Alabama, looking to bounce back from really that stunning Nichols loss on Wednesday. Colby Allen on the bump tonight has had good starts, Jason. nothing he's done has necessarily been bad. I guess the standard for him is just so much higher, you know, but you would think that this would be the night where he could come out, really extend himself, and have a really good outing against what is a good North Alabama team, but nothing like Colby has seen the past three starts.
No, correct. This weekend series, nothing of the metal of what we've seen and endured to the early portion of this schedule. And yeah, Dima, I agree. Like, Colby's standard is so high, it's almost unfair,
yeah.
Right? Like, matter of fact, his ERA is actually the lowest of his career, you know, at this point, based on the body of work this season versus some of those other seasons. Mm-hmm. Now, albeit, I agree totally with you, he's not been quite as dominant. However, I thought last Friday night, I was listening on the bus on the way back to Monroe, back to Hattiesburg before I came to Ruston, and I felt like maybe I think he went out in the fifth. So, like, the fourth and the fifth, I thought he got, like, really sharp.
Yeah.
But that pitch total got high, and Oz had to go get him, right? And there was some purpose in that. I think maybe one guy got on or there was some traffic on, and it was time to get him. But I really felt like Colby was coming into form of looking like the standard that is what we have set for Colby Allen, and that's a really, really high standard. And, yeah, I would think tonight would be an opportunity for him to, you know, and I'm going to use this phrase because I can't think of anything better, but the quote-unquote get right, if you will.
Sure.
It's a good hitting lineup. There's some pop. They are very much like the Golden Eagles. They are not going to steal any bases. They are not going to put a lot of balls, and, you know, small ball type and play, put a lot of pressure on you that way. They are going to stand in there, take their cuts, take their walks, and try to hit it over the wall or hit it off of it, just much like we are. And, you know, we'll kind of see how that plays with him. And, you know, the other picture of this, too, for Colby's side of it is he's developing a third pitch. And so sometimes I think for pitchers, they got to learn when to throw that, when not to throw that. He was sinker slider for 3.5 years of his career. And, you know, now we're developing this changeup into his repertoire, if you will, to make him a starter and extend. And I think him and Oz are just trying to find out how to utilize that pitch to make it effective, right?
30 seconds left, Jason. I know the loss was disappointing, but my heavens. If you'd have looked at this schedule back in the summer and
absolutely
said, when they get back home, they'll be 11-2, you would have been jumping for joy. Am I not right about
100%.
That?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I agree completely, and that's why the loss is what it was on Wednesday. It hurt because how big of the win was on Tuesday. But if you would have told us at the start of the year, hey, if you would enter March the 6th at 11-2, would you take it? Every single one of us would be taking it. And if you say you wouldn't, you're lying, right? So, like, to me, absolutely. And you know what? Losses happen, man. Those things occur. We are perfectly fine, in great shape, a team that has played exceptional baseball, maybe the best historically in the start of Golden Eagle baseball to a season ever. So we'll see how it plays out this weekend.
I would agree. No reason to jump off the bridge, right, Jason?
No, sir. Everybody stay on that bridge for now. We have a fantastic team, and they're continuing to get better, and I can't wait to see what steps they make forward tonight.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely, Bob. Thank you, guys.
Jason Baker, everybody. Jeff Cook's next. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. DBAT on Hardy Street, great place for baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds is the general manager there, state-of-the-art facility. Be sure that you check them out. Hey, our good friends at Forest Health remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year, but don't forget about the most important player. That's you. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org, and I can attest to the fact that we are so fortunate to have this sophisticated, super professional medical facility here in Hattiesburg. My next guest probably knows a thing or two about that. He is the CEO of Forest Health, and he is a former great Golden Eagle baseball star. Jeff Cook played from 2000 to 2003 and throughout his college career had a .336 batting average. That's just pretty much unheard of. 292 hits, 200 career runs, 50 home runs, 201 RBI, and a two-time All-American. And, Jeff, thank you so much for coming in. And, man, that's a you could hit the ball a little bit, couldn't you?
I would say that my probably favorite part of the game was hitting, and had to develop as a defensive player through my career. But loved the game of baseball, and I remember fondly getting to Southern Miss and getting under Coach Palmer's tutelage and kind of learning how to actually play the game and learning how to actually hit. And those were fun times.
Yeah, we could have used you Wednesday night.
Right.
All right, did Jeff?
I'm sure he has some eligibility left, Bob. Yeah, everybody does
COVID
nowadays.
Year, yeah. I want you to answer this question for the average baseball fan, because I heard this ask a lot, and I get it. I understand it. People are very emotional about the baseball team. Here's the question. Popped to me a dozen times. How in the world can we beat Mississippi State and Oregon State and all these great schools, and we lose a game to a school like this tonight? What is the answer to that, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a complicated answer, but it's one that in baseball is really simple, and that is you can get beat any given night by any team, and it really depends on a couple of things. One is I think there's a lot of emotion that went into the game Tuesday night, and so it's hard to recreate that on a Wednesday night game. So I think that may be some of it. But truly, if you have a good arm throwing against you, or your bats just don't show up one night like they normally do, it's a game of failure. And sometimes when things don't go well, you end up losing games. And that's why they always compare a baseball season to a marathon. Mm-hmm. You do have ups and downs, and so. Not surprised at all. And I think it was Nicholls State, have good athletes. They have good baseball players there.
Correct. They sure. do. That's right. I think sometimes we forget about that. Scott Berry used to tell me all the time, he goes, Bob, everybody we play has Division I scholarship athletes, so they're going to practice all week with the intention of beating us. So if you don't play the game against the game efficiently, you're going to get beat.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And I think Southern Miss has gotten to an echelon where – the Nicholls States come in, and they want to take down a big team, big name. And so they get their best shot.
Of course. Damon?
Yeah, I mean, and one thing I've always heard from batters and stuff is you just do not understand how hard it is to hit a baseball. I mean, it's moving, and especially with all the induced vertical break and all these things, all these analytics now. You're a batter. You hit well. How hard is it to hit a baseball in college?
Yeah, I think it is very difficult. I watch these batters now. They're facing the high velo pitchers that throw it, you know, mid 90s and have a nice little changeup that's, you know, 10, 20 miles slower. It's one of the most complicated things if you sit and really think about it. I would suggest any great hitters probably don't sit and think about it. They just let their body do what it does. And they're naturally gifted in being able to see the ball and get their body or in their bat and in a position to hit. And I think that's, for me, I studied a lot, but when we got on the field and a pitch was coming, it was really just naturally, how am I going to do it? And that's how I feel like this is, you know, a great hitter would look at it like that.
It kind of reminds me a lot of golf, right? Like when you play a round of golf, you sit there and just think about the shot you're about to hit, right? Just sit there and think about it. Think about where you want it to go. Normally, most of the time, it's not going to go the way you want it to go. But sometimes you just walk up to the ball and just hit it, and it's just like your natural swing. Normally, it goes where you kind of want it to go. And I think, you know, that's kind of what you're saying. Sometimes you have to throw away all the analytics and all the, you know, this pitcher's going to throw here on the strike zone, here. Just go swing the bat, and you're probably going to have more success.
Yeah, I think so. And you can see why slumps are such a big deal, right? Because it's a mental piece of the hitting game. But I would say that great hitters typically can work kinks out in practice and get their bodies in places to where they can be successful a high number of times. But in the game, you let your body do it.
Jeff, put in perspective for our listeners, if you will, how difficult it has been to accomplish what this team has accomplished. 11 out of 13 wins, playing the number one rated schedule in the country.
Yeah, it's seemingly almost impossible when you think about it, because the talent that they've played against is
tremendous.
It's tremendous. And so you look at that schedule and you go, we would not hate being 50-50 against these teams, right?
1,000%.
And so when you look at it and go, we're not only, you know, 50-50, we've won 11 of the 13. It's pretty remarkable. And what you kind of can look at about this team is there's a mental side of learning how to win a game and finishing a game. And then you look at the talent, and there is evidence of a higher talent that's showing up every day, to include the hitters putting the ball in play and scoring runs, and the pitchers keeping other hitters off balance.
I don't think I've ever – and I realize it's early. I don't think I have seen a better-looking pitching staff on a Southern Miss team than this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have never seen as a pitching staff that looks as good as this one.
Freshmen. These freshmen, one after another, with their shaved heads, and they just come out there and strike out everybody they face.
The clone army.
The clone army.
That's what I've called
them. Did they make you shave your head when you were a freshman?
For sure they made me shave my head. That's been an ongoing deal for many centuries, I guess.
So you shave your head or you're not on the team, right?
That's right.
Well, talk about your time at Southern Miss. I mean, maybe some of your favorite memories, favorite wins, such as that.
Yeah, you know, I, as a freshman, it's funny because the Mississippi State game this week was, I would call it electric. And so one of my favorite memories was as a freshman getting to start in that game. It was early in the season like this one was. And I ended up hitting a home run. And, wow. You know, it was not even a year before that. You know, I'm playing in high school right up the road. And so the atmosphere even back then was electric. It's only compounded now. But that was one of my favorite memories. And truly was one of those times to even kind of validate, hey, I'm a Division I college ball player. You can be someone here locally and make an impact on the Southern Miss team.
Yeah. The atmosphere the other night, I think, is just a tribute to the love of college baseball in the state of Mississippi. And personally, I think it's wonderful that State wants to play a home-and-home series with the Golden Eagles. Your thoughts about that?
I think our atmosphere and the quality of product we put on the field has warranted these bigger programs coming and experiencing what we have. But they also see that the talent and the game competitiveness is equal and beneficial for them getting quality wins and then also testing themselves for postseason play.
Right, because the game Tuesday night was a win-win for both teams.
Sure.
Neither team was going to be hurt by being the short end of that stick, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
You played for Corky Palmer, right? I guess, can you just talk about him and just what made him such an amazing coach to play under?
You know, it's interesting because as I look at those days, it was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I say that in that Coach Palmer was one of those coaches that demanded you work hard and demanded that you were high character and in the classroom studying and making good grades. But he was also going to hold you accountable to make plays and to be at practice and like locking in. And so to me, it was one of those things that he had built a reputation from schools that he had been at as winners, and he knew no other way but to win. And if you cannot conform to that, you quickly realized it. And so for that reason, I think he basically drove winning into Southern Miss. And that's not to say that the Hill Densons and some of the other ones, the Pete Taylors, did not do that. But there was a greater demand each day accountable to winning. And he was a great.
Was he hard to play for, Joe?
He was hard to play for if you were in conflict with his philosophy. But if you like to grind, he was very much a player's coach.
Mm-hmm. Could he coach today in the world of college baseball today?
Speculating he would have some challenges. I love him so much, and I kind of compare him to maybe like the Nick Saban mentality. As
right.
Nick has seen how college football is playing out, he doesn't want to even be a part of that.
Sure.
Will you stick around another segment?
Absolutely.
Now that you fought the traffic to get here, we're grateful to you for that. More with Jeff Cook on the other side of the break. As we head to the break, remind you about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our show. Genesis sedans and SUVs are beautiful. They're at Mississippi's exclusive dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Thanks to Kevin Mullins and Mr. Grubbs for all they do to support our show and, of course, Southern Miss Athletics. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Jewel Master sponsors the fourth segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. That's where you need to go now for gold, silver, coins, any that you want to get rid of. Nobody pays you a better price, gives you a more fair evaluation for your property, and pays you right on the spot. It's always confidential. It's very professional. Marty Vick is the very best in the Pine Belt about that. Nobody has paid better prices longer for gold, silver, and jewelry than they do at Jewel Master. So if you're in the market for that, make sure you check out the wonderful folks at Jewel Masters. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa. Alexa or Siri will play it for you, and thousands of you find us that way every month. We're grateful to you for that. Jeff Cook is with us, former superstar baseball player for the Golden Eagles and now the CEO of Forest Health. And, okay, Jeff, nobody knows baseball any better than you. Break down what you're seeing so far with this Southern Miss team.
Well, it's really interesting, and I've got kids that are 8 to 11, so my Southern Miss, you know, for sure, keeping in and locking on Southern Miss team has not been as good this year. But I will tell you, it was clear early on when we were playing some of those big names early, particularly Oregon State, and we were hitting the ball early and jumping out to some leads. And that whole tournament, we jumped on teams, that we have a lineup that's truly talented, but also not going to get rattled in a big game early in the season, which I think tells us a lot about how talented they are. It's really easy to, if you're not confident and sure of yourself, to get rattled in those types of games for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that's extended into the remaining part of the season that we've already had, and that is we're able to score runs. We're able to do that with home runs, and I'll tell you something that I've seen on social media and in the game was almost amazed by it, and that is we don't take things for granted. There was a guy we had a guy on first base that mm-hmm. basically ran a fly ball to shortstop mm-hmm. all the way out to score a run.
Right.
And you just don't see that a whole lot from that type of commitment and that type of play. And so mm-hmm. I think from an offensive standpoint, what I'm seeing is there's going to be an ability to score runs. There's a confidence there that they're not going to get rattled, even in big games with big arms. On the pitching side, I think we – and maybe the whole town is talking about right now – is that I've never seen arms as deep as we've had them this year. And one of the things that I'm amazed by is Coach Osh throwing guys one inning on these midweek yeah. big games,
freshmen,
and they're doing their job. They're getting outs and really looking good. And there's twofold to that, right? I mean, two is you're saving arms, building confidence, and that in its of itself is great for getting ready for postseason, which you know you want to have as many arms at that point, because I think that's the teams that win are the guys that have
correct.
The arms.
Correct.
And so it's just interesting to see how we're doing that and platooning those guys, not trying to throw our best arms and win those midweek games, but really getting work done. And I think that's just going to pay off for us.
When Southern Miss was playing Mississippi State on Tuesday, there was a Mississippi State rider next to me in like the seventh or eighth inning, and he looked over at the Southern Miss bullpen and he said, how in the world are there still 8 or 9 guys still standing up over there? Because, you know, they're just running through all these guys. And he just said, how the world are they still have 9 or 10 guys? And I said, I'm telling you, these guys, they have so many pitchers on this team that can all, every one of them, come into this game and get 3 outs. And that's what Oz says. He says, I don't want to ask too much of them, right? I don't want to make them come out here and I don't want to say, give me 4 innings. Just give me 3 outs. You give me 3 outs, your job's done. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a vital part to having the bullpen, right?
Yeah, that's right. And year in, year out, we have great teams, great hitters, and we have, you know, a stack of good pitchers at the top of that list. But top to bottom, it's looking like it's really looking good.
And I think the teams that make it to Omaha year in and year out are the ones that have that depth late in the year where they can go 6, 7 pitchers, 8 pitchers deep and really not drop off.
Every year.
Every year, right? And it appears, and I know it's early, Jeff, it appears we have that staff, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah, I sure have faith in Coach Oz being able to create that staff. And he's shown that year in, year out.
Sure.
Hey, a minute left. I want you to talk for just this last minute about this wonderful medical facility we have here. And you were telling us off air, absolutely true. There are not many communities with this sophisticated of a medical center, are there?
No, I would say we're so lucky to be here in the Pine Belt and have a health center, health system that is as comprehensive and complex as we do. It rivals and looks a lot like some major urban area health system. And with Forest Health, we obviously have the big hospital in Forest General in Hattiesburg, but we're really a 7-hospital system that feeds or covers 19 counties in South Mississippi. But that's just really a little piece of our story. We own so many more settings of care. We own nursing homes, post-acute settings like skilled nursing, inpatient rehab, home health. It truly is comprehensive, and we like to say from life to death, we've got you covered. But grateful to be a part of the system and grateful that there's been many leaders before me that have made great decisions to make it a great place.
And we're grateful that you would take time from your busy schedule to talk to guys like us, man. We're grateful to you for that.
Enjoy it. Thank you.
Jeff Cook, one of the great Golden Eagle baseball players of all time and now the CEO of Forest Health. That wraps up another week of Super Talk Eagle Hour coverage. See you at the Pete over the weekend, back Monday, and until then, Southern Miss to the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.